Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder as I step out for a walk and deliver an episode to you while I stroll around. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, good morning, listeners. It's a lovely day here in suburban Chicago. The weather is getting a little nicer. I see peaks of the sun coming through the clouds, even though it is still relatively cold for mid-March. At least it's not snowing, so there's that. Today on my walk home from the library, I thought I would talk with you a little bit about 4 years ago. That's right, it's a 400 back. 400 back is a segment I do from time to time in which I look at episodes of the podcast made 4 years ago or 400 episodes ago to see how my thoughts have evolved or changed since then and add on or, you know, comment on those episodes. So since this is due to be episode 521, I looked back for episode 121. It's 400 episodes ago. And episode 121 was called Duel, London versus Wingspan. I did not double check, but this might be the very first duel episode that I did. And here it's D-U-E-L, not D-U-A-L. In other words, putting two games against each other and comparing them is a thing I've done a number of times. Feel free to, if you go to rattleboxgames.com and you search for duel in the search function for the podcast area, you will find several episodes that have that in the title. Well, in episode 121, I compared the Martin Wallace game London, second edition, with the game Wingspan, which at the time was pretty new. I had just played them with regular listener Chris Hickman. Hey, Chris. And we talked about how the games had some similarities. So I talked about what were the similarities and differences of those two games. Now, since then, I have continued to play both games. At this point, I have 19 plays of London under my belt and 43 plays in person of Wingspan, along with another 9 on Board Game Arena. I imagine that as time goes on and people keep inviting me to Board Game Arena plays of Wingspan, eventually that number will get much larger. I will say I like Wingspan on Board Game Arena just fine, but a big part of what I like about it is playing it with my wife, so it is not a huge motivator to me to play that one online. Nonetheless, I'm enjoying it as I have the opportunity. That said, as I was listening, I was thinking about the intervening 5 years in which I've probably played something like 800 more games that I hadn't played before, and I've come to appreciate or be very skilled at a number of those games in more depth, I thought I would add a couple games to each side of the duel to help us think about what's going on in those original games. So if you want to listen to the original duel episode, I would say it's one of the ones that holds up pretty well. If you go listen to it, I think everything in there still applies. So yeah, go take a listen. If you don't want to Google it, it's easy to find. You just head over to rattleboxgames.com, click on podcasts, and you'll find the show notes for this episode, which will include a link to that episode. All right, so to start off, as I was thinking about my current view of London, like I said, 19 plays, I came to understand a couple things about it. Basically, I picked out 3 aspects of it that I really enjoy and other games that I play or have played since that really capture a lot of that same feel. So, first off, I want to talk about the game's tightness. I mean, among the things that I think of most strongly when I play London is how incredibly tight the economy in the game is. Not only are you constantly trying to figure out how to get a little bit more money so you can afford some of the better cards, but every time you do anything, you are increasing the poverty in London, and so you have to constantly be thinking about how do we alleviate the poverty. And if you go out of control, then you can end up with a sort of hilariously large number of poverty cubes, which make it very difficult to win because the number of poverty cubes you have results in a large penalty at the end if you have very many. So from that, I was thinking about another game where I feel like money is always constantly really tight. You really have to think about, do I have enough to do what I want? Can I afford to do this other thing? Is Brass Birmingham. Also Brass Lancashire, but I haven't really played Brass Lancashire that much. Brass Birmingham, I have many more plays of. In that game, not surprisingly, also by Martin Wallace, although the updated one is from Gavin Brown and a third person whose name I can't remember. In these games, you are really taking this initial idea and ratcheting it up under a tightness of resources, of money, in a way that is just delicious. Like, the part of what makes the game so good is you're constantly trying to find the best path through this grueling economy. Same thing going on with London. Another thing that London does that I think is really clever is it makes you pay for starting something. In particular, in London, you get to pick how many different stacks of cards you want to have in your city. But for each stack of cards that you have in your city, you earn one poverty cube every time you run your city. So if you decide to try to have your city be a bustling, massive metropolis, you can add a whole bunch of stacks to your city. I think the last game I played, I tried going big and I ended up with 6 stacks. But that means every time you run your city, you have 6 poverty to deal with, which can be really grueling if you have opponents who are keeping their poverty at an absolute minimum. Because generally, it's pretty hard to remove more poverty. Well, for one, you can't remove more poverty than you have. But, you know, even if you bottom out your hand then, if you have 6 stacks in your city, you're always going to get 6 more poverty at the end of a run. So that's a particularly good and grueling way to keep energy tight. Now, brass also punishes you that way for starting things, because the resources, the coal and the iron, they don't score unless they're all used up. Same with breweries, actually. The beer, those don't score unless they're all used up, which means that if you aren't careful or aren't thoughtful about it, you could end up with a bunch of cubes on the board at the end of the round that you didn't, on tiles that you don't score, because you did not use up those cubes. Now, an even tighter version of that is Lost Cities, the board game. I think Lost Cities, the card game, does this as well, but because it's only 2-player, it feels a little less cutthroat. Lost Cities, the board game, is so incredibly cutthroat that you find yourself really struggling with the question of, do I start another path or do I hold off on it? Because for every path you start at negative 20 points, and you have to advance the path 3 times before you are in the positive points. There are 5 potential paths that you can start on any given round, but for each one you start, it's another negative 20 until you've played 3 cards. And you get limited turns. Like, it's really easy to have it feel like you have, oh, a bunch of turns left, and then suddenly all your turns are gone just because other players have moved forward in ways you didn't expect. So I would say, in terms of that critical crunch, Lost Cities reminds me of that challenge in London, deciding when to start. The third thing I had as an observation about London is the difficult choice of keeping or giving up something. Because in London, whenever you discard a card, you are putting it back in a market. That market is then available for other players when they go to draw cards. Now, the game that does this the most, like in classic sense, is Rummy, right? In Rummy, you discard a card on the top of the deck and your opponent can take it, or gin, I guess. In the modern landscape, I think a game that does this incredibly well is Fantasy Realms. Now, Fantasy Realms is the same thing. You pick up a card, you discard a card, and the cards all have interesting interactions. And at the end of the game, you score your hand based on the cards that you have. What makes it crucial is that when you discard a card, it goes into a center lake where all the cards are. So there's this really interesting mechanism by which trying to figure out which cards your opponents are looking for and holding on to them as long as you can. Because if you give them the card they want, maybe they'll call the game. So there's an interesting progression there as the game goes along of players trying to figure out how they are going to proceed. Again, a key part of London fits that same groove. So let's move on to Wingspan. I had 3 things that occurred to me about Wingspan that felt like they fit a similar vibe. The first off, and basically this is like 3 facets of Wingspan that I like, that are other games that are in my life that do a similar thing. The first one is Wingspan is really lovely. It is a lovely game with lovely components and very attractive. So it's a game that you can get people to play. Oh my gosh, there's a bunch of ravens or crows cawing at me. Wingspan is a game that is lovely to look at and lovely to play. And a big part of what makes it fun to play is getting people to try it who haven't tried it before, because it looks so nice. So sort of appealing to the theme and getting them interested in it from that. One of the games that has wandered into my life for that very reason is the game Flamecraft. Now, Flamecraft, I think, is pretty good. It is a little bit on the light side, but I think that it has been dismissed as lighter than it actually is by people who played it once or twice and said, nah, it's too light, which I'll admit might be me also. I think if you go listen to my first impressions of Flamecraft, I suggest that. But on my second and third plays, I've seen that there's actually a lot of room for effective and complex negotiation of the higher end strategy stuff in ways that make it really interesting toward the end of the game to compete for those high level points. Now, I'm not saying it's got Brass Birmingham levels of depth or Concordia levels of complexity, but you know, Flamecraft actually has a lot more there going on. But I think part of what you can use to get people involved is that it's beautiful little dragons and lovely little components and a nice board. And I think that's also part of how you can try to get people to play Wingspan. It's just a lovely looking game. At the same time, Wingspan is also interesting because it involves playing a lot of cards and building up an interesting engine. And I think the game that has come out recently that I want to point to as doing that is Ark Nova. Ark Nova is a fascinating game in which you are building a zoo, playing lots of cards, expanding your zoo, making lots of interesting decisions about your zoo, and over time just really developing this thing that you're building in lots of different ways. It has an immense number of cards available in the game, and part of what you're looking for are cards that synergize. Now, this part feels a lot like Wingspan to me, and also similar to Terraforming Mars, although more like Wingspan because the cards are available to be purchased, as opposed to in Terraforming Mars, you get the cards through blind draw or through drafting. And in so doing, you do not have the opportunity to shop in a market or to anticipate things that are coming out. In the same way, Wingspan, but by contrast, Wingspan has that market of three birds, so you can always see three of the birds you can buy. Similarly, Ark Nova has this market of cards that you can buy, and as the game goes along, you have more of them available to you to buy. And so being able to see what's coming and buy the cards that fit your strategy is an interesting element that I think Wingspan does better than Terraforming Mars. And thus, Ark Nova resonates for me a little bit in the way that Wingspan does. I will say Ark Nova also fits that first category I said of an attractive theme. Now, The challenge over Wingspan of trying to get people to play Ark Nova is I think it's more complicated in a way it's pretty complicated. I wouldn't suggest my mom to play Wingspan or Ark Nova the way that I would Wingspan. All right, finally, the third game that comes to mind as I think about my experience with Wingspan at 43 plays since then is about expansions. Like, I've been feverishly and enjoyably following the expansions as they've come out from Stonemaier. I've been enjoying them. We picked up the Oceania expansion, and we picked up the Asia expansion as those come out. I decided against going with the super duper jumbo box. I haven't decided for sure if that's going to hold. I may get it with the next expansion. We will see. I don't want to buy the box by itself. That feels like a lot of money to spend just on a box. But they did do a deal last time, if I hadn't missed it, which I did miss it, but if I hadn't missed it, they did a deal where you could get the Asia expansion in the jumbo box. And I like that too, because then you're not wasting the box that they would put the Asia expansion in. They just don't make it. They put it right in the jumbo box. So if they do that with the next expansion, which I imagine will be Africa, I would definitely get that one in the big box. Maybe. We'll see. But I have purchased every expansion for Wingspan, and we've enjoyed every one. It revitalizes the game when it comes out. And the same has been true for Everdell. Now, Everdell is a game that I played once or twice from friends before I picked it up. And then I picked it up as a gift or a family gift because I thought my wife would enjoy it. And it turns out I was absolutely right. She loves it. Since then, I've slowly picked up all the expansions because we like it so much. We play it with the different expansions. And when they did the jumbo box with two more expansions, I backed that as well. So we have the Everdell Gigantic Box and all the expansions. And that's one of our favorite games. We've played it a whole bunch of times. Now, I will say Everdell maybe is the closest to Wingspan in terms of thinking about what's going on. In Wingspan, you're building out a grid of cards. In Everdell, building out a grid of cards. Both games have a lot of expansions. Both games have a lovely theme. I would say Everdell feels like a very different game to Wingspan to me. For one thing, much more resource management focused. Sure, you're getting food in Wingspan, but that doesn't feel like resource management the way it is in Everdell. In Everdell, you're constantly thinking about how you're going to generate those resources, how you're going to make the most use of your limited workers, how you're going to sort of cascade your locations and your workers into a series of actions that exceed the number of workers you have. And that part is way different than Wingspan, where you, with the exception of just a couple cards that give you like the ability to play a second card, for the most part with Wingspan, you are just taking turns and doing one thing, which is good. It keeps it simple, but also puts it in a different category than something like Everdell. Nonetheless, as an exemplar of a game where I want all the expansions and I buy them all, Everdell and Wingspan are close cousins. So, having gone back and listened to episode 121, now you've listened to episode 521, in which I've reflected more thoroughly on the duel between London and Wingspan, and I've brought in some seconds for each side to reflect on what makes these games great and how they distinguish themselves from one another. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Pick Up and Deliver. I certainly enjoyed sharing it with you. Now's a good chance to remind you that you can always find our backlog of episodes over on rattleboxgames.com. Just go into the media tab and click on podcasts, or it might say podcasts and other things. And there's a tab there for Pick Up and Deliver, where I have not extensive show notes, but I have show notes for each episode, including links to games mentioned. I don't link to every game mentioned, but like, for instance, this episode will include links to the six games, I guess the eight games mentioned with any focus, as well as things like related subjects when relevant. If you'd like to reach out to me, my email is brendan@rattleboxgames.com. I don't check that as often as I should, but I will get around to it. You could also reach me, wombat929, on boardgamegeek.com. Weirdly, I will see that more often. You could also visit me and play a game with me on Board Game Arena, on Boîte à Jeux, or on yukata.de. In all three of those locations, my username is wombat929, and I'm happy to talk with you and play games with you. I hope that I'll get to. If you'd like to try London 2nd Edition, you can pick up your copy from Osprey Games, although I'm not 100% sure that they still have copies in print. I hope they do. It's a great game. And if you wanted to pick up Wingspan, you can get a copy from Stonemaier Games. Thanks for joining me on my walk today. I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.